And actually, I was just thinking about the fact that, again, trying to think about sort of biologic topics that we could talk about at AACR. So we were talking about mesothelioma in terms of predictors of response. We sort of alluded to that a couple times today, but maybe you can just sort of take a step back and talk a little bit about your view about, you know, what the best predictors are, particularly in terms of PD-L1 levels in non-small cell.
Yeah. My guess is that there's probably not going to be any single test that gives us the best bit of information, and that it'll ultimately be a composite piece of information that may help us better be able to find sort of really enriched populations of benefit. I think the CheckMate 026 study, although negative for its primary endpoint, I think was really helpful in giving some insight into the ways in which tumor mutation burden and PD-L1 can interplay and identify patients with particular benefit. Those patients.
Can you talk a little bit more about that study?
So in CheckMate 26, it was patients with first-line lung cancer who were randomized to nivolumab or chemotherapy. The primary analysis was stratified by those patients who had greater than 5% PD-L1 expression, and there was no improvement in progression-free survival, overall survival, which defines sort of the negative outcome of the study. But in a subgroup analysis or an exploratory analysis of a subgroup, they looked at about 300 patients who they were able to do whole exome sequencing on their tumors, half of which who had gotten chemotherapy and half of which who had gotten nivolumab. And when mutation burden was broken down into tertiles so that the upper tertile was compared to the lower or medium tertiles, it seemed like there was a really clear distinction between the patients who were benefiting from nivolumab, wherein those that had high mutation burden had a very clearly improved progression-free survival compared to those who had low mutation burden. Then the flip experience was actually seen in those who were treated with chemo, wherein the patients that had low or medium mutation burden did particularly well with chemo. And it starts to outline a paradigm in which some of these markers may not just distinguish who should get PD-1, but who may also actually benefit better from chemo. They took a next step and then combined mutation burden with PD-L1 data and found that those patients that were both mutation burden high and PD-L1 high had the particularly enriched response rate, I think up to 75%. And if you had only one of those markers, the response rate was intermediate, maybe around 30%. And if you had neither of those markers, the response rate was quite low, like 10%. And so it starts to give you that sense that maybe as we start to put combinations of markers together, we can provide much more nuance in terms of understanding who benefits and who doesn't.
You know, it's a really interesting thought, though, predicting benefit from chemo, because actually, if you think about it, maybe it sort of makes sense. Less mutation burden, less mutations, less possibility for resistance. I don't know. Is that the way you would?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that the idea that mutation burden is a good thing is really only true in the context of immunotherapy, wherein a given mutation has the potential to generate a new antigen. But in overall tumor biology, each mutation represents a new bypass pathway. And so I think that in the context of chemotherapy, maybe a genetically simpler tumor is more sensitive to chemotherapy. And I think that context is particularly important when we think about clinical trials that are ongoing now where the goal is to induce mutations through things like PARP inhibitors or temozolomide or others. I think there's reason to be a little cautious about whether that's a good thing, especially given the possibility that you're making a tumor more aggressive in absence of real benefit from immunotherapy.
You know, it's kind of flashing on all the studies that looked at chemo versus targeted therapy first line, like IPASS, looking at TKI versus chemo. And I remember people saying, oh, well, the people in the chemo arm did really well. So do we know that people like with targetable mutations actually get more benefit from chemo with the same idea, less mutation burden?
I don't know of data aside from things like IPASS, and it did seem like those that had EGFR mutations did particularly well. There have been a few case reports in individual driver oncogenes like ALK and RET and ROS, where some of those patients who were treated with chemotherapy did really exceptional. I think the median progression-free survival of ROS1 rearranged patients treated with pemetrexed-based chemotherapy was like a year or 18 months, like really exceptional. So it does seem like there's some signal that the benefits of chemotherapy can be exceptional in those that have low mutation burden.